Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and works, the religious and scholar life of the most outstanding Muslim ladies, personalities and dignitaries of Shiite world and Islamic world. I am Ata, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Fadai are the two special guest speakers for today's discussion from the Islamic Hawza of Qom. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Fadai, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about another outstanding lady of Islam, the mother of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, the wife of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. She is no one but Shahrbanu. Shahrbanu is a Persian name for this lady. Sheikh Rouhani, give us some details about the early life and background of Bibi Shahrbanu. Bibi means mother or lady in Farsi or Persian language.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Shahrbanu, mother of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, was one of the daughters of Yazdgird, the last king of the ancient Persia.
Yes.
In one of the battles, actually, she was taken as captive by the Muslims, and she was brought to the city of Medina.
Mm-hmm.
When she was brought to the city of Medina, it is said that Imam Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam asked her that she can marry some of the children of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam or the others. Then it is said that Bibi Shahrbanu, or the Lady Shahrbanu, freely decided to marry Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Actually, she was at that time free. She was not captive.
Okay.
Yeah, after she was brought to Medina, she was free. And freely she decided to marry Imam Hussein.
So you mean Imam Ali alayhi salam freed this lady?
Yeah, yeah, first, yeah.
And then let her to select her husband.
Yeah, of course.
And Imam Al Hussein was selected?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Imam told him that you can either choose, let's say, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam or Muhammad, son of Abi Bakr, who was son of Imam Ali, because Imam Ali was taking care of his son. Yes, of course.
Muhammad Abdan Bakr.
And even also it is said that once the second caliph wanted to marry her as well, but she rejected, and she said that I will marry only the son of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Then later she became the mother of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi alafu al-tahiyyati wasalam, and she was also present in the event of Ashura in the land of Karbala.
That's all right. So, belonging to a Persian dynasty or Persian lineage, we can say on that time, of course, it's very much controversial. There are so many controversies regarding her character. But can we for sure say that Shahrbanu was the mother of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, Sheikh Fadai, or not?
You know, there are some people believe that she was not the mother of Imam Sajjad, like Dr. Shahidi, one of the historians, Iranian historian. He believes so. But we can say that the majority of
the scholars believe
that she was the one who was the mother of Imam Sajjad and the wife of Imam Hussein. And, you know, when we have different viewpoints about the historic events, we should lean on the public and famous and the common one and the most famous one. But I want to mention points. No, this is not important whether she, as the one of the daughters of the king of Iran at that time, Persia, whether she was the daughter of that king or not.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we can see.
We know that Yazdegerd was a title given to so many of the kings. For example, Yazgir, Aval, Dovom, Sevom, the first one, the second one, the third one, okay?
His father was the third
like
one.
Like Khosrow, which was a title given to so many of the, for example,
their father was the third Yazgir in Iran, in Sasanid dynasty. But I want to mention that this is not important, whether she was the daughter of Yazgir, the first one, second one, or the third one. I think that the most important point about her is that, as all the scholars believe, that she was a servant when she was brought to Medina. And then a servant, you know, at that time, servant didn't have any respect, didn't have any, I don't know, position in the minds of people. But Islam changed everything. A servant from a region that was not Muslim at that time, you know, Persia at that time was not Muslim. So we can say a kafir one. So servants were kafir, but they were not Muslim. A servant changed to mother of Imam, wife of Imam. We can say that being wife of Imam is not important because we have some Imam with bad wives. But what about mother? You know, when she became a mother of Imam, so we cannot say that she was an ordinary one. So let's talk about slavery here. You know, some people ask question that if slavery is not good, why did Islam continue that? Like what we have in about Shahbanu. They brought a slave from Persia to Medina. So Islam continued the custom of slavery. No, it's not important. It's, it's not the reality. You know, I want to mention two points. The first point is that changing a culture and changing a custom is not easy. It cannot happen in a short time. It takes time. It takes a lot of time to, for example, clear a bad custom or culture, as now we don't have any servants.
We know that at the time of Prophet Muhammad, there were so many negative behaviors. For example, burying alive the girls or marrying as many women as possible, drinking blood or so many of that. So it said, Islah. Or reform in a society.
It takes time.
It takes gradual
First, it takes time.
And the rights of the slaves were really changed by Prophet Muhammad and the infallible imams, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
Money were spent on freeing the slaves.
The second point is that Islam changed that threat to an opportunity. You know, while you are trying to change that culture, you can use that threat as an opportunity. How? You know, in Islam, you can take a slave, but this slavery is an educational system. You know, the slaves were brought to the house of Muslim. They were taught. They were educated. Some of them were the ashab of prophets and imams. Some of them were fathers and mothers of the best people of that time, like Shahbanu. So slavery in Islam is a system of education. It's not just some tools in order to make them work for us or in order to have sexual joy for, from them. No, it's not at all.
And we know that it is, it's not really applicable in today's life of the Muslims. There is no
As I told you, it took time and now it disappeared. But at the time that Islam was working on that, Islam changed
it was
that
a part
threat
of,
to
it
an
was a
opportunity.
Part of Arab culture.
Yes, it is.
So Islam came in order to reform this Arab culture.
You cannot change it suddenly, but you can use it as your tool.
That's right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
Sheikh Rouhani, some of the Orientalists who have studied Islam and the Shia Islam believe that The marriage of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam to Shahrabanu was the main cause for the Persians to become Shi'i. Is this true or not?
I don't think so, you know, because the following of Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam first was spreaded in the Arab world.
Mm-hmm.
Because the early Shi'ite or the early followers of Amir al-Mu'minin Ahl al-Bayt were the people of Yemen, for example.
Okay.
Were the people of Kufa, or the people of Iraq, people of, let's say, Arab Peninsula. And then from there, we see that it was spread all over the Islamic territory.
Okay.
So that's why the first early Shi'ite are mostly the Arabs.
Yes.
We cannot say that Shia or Tashayu was spread only because of this, let's say, tribal or, let's say, blood kind of relationship.
We know that before, for example, the Safavid dynasty, majority of the rulers of Persia were Sunnis. Isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
So
yeah,
80-90% of the society was under the rulership of the Sunnis.
Yeah.
The Sunni outstanding scholars like Muslim and Bukhari were Persians, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and also we should know that even right now or nowadays in the temporary, let's say, authors of different works, they are of the view that Shahrbanu was the mother of Imam Sajjad. Now it's well known, but uh-huh. in the previous centuries, in the early centuries of Islam, lots of names are mentioned in Manawi or in the Islamic sources. For example, Khawla, Barra, Maryam, Sulafa, Fatima. They are some of the names of mother of Imam Sajjad. Mm-hmm. If you go back to the sources, for example, Ibn Shahrashub mentioned okay. these names.
Yes.
Or, for example, in Al-Kulayni and Al-Kafi, Ibn Kathir and Al-Bidaya and Nahaya.
Yes.
In Tariq Qummi.
Yes.
We've seen these names, the Arabic names, like Khawla, Barra, Maryam. Mm-hmm. Fatima, they were the name of. Or Harara or Ghazala, Yaqubi in Tariqi Yaqubi mentioned yes. that the name was Ghazala. Or it is also said that one of Kanis from Khorasan, from Kabul, was mother of Imam Sajjad alayhi uh-huh. salam. So different views were there. We
yes.
cannot say that at that time,
mm-hmm.
this idea was well known that only mm-hmm. Shahrbanu was the mother
but
of Imam Sajjad.
But you mean the recent research?
Yeah, they say that
yes.
this is something well known nowadays. And also, we see that when the event of Ashura happened, after the event of Ashura,
mm-hmm.
it was mostly Arabs who resisted
yes.
against the Amawites
yes.
and the people of Medina, people of Mecca, people
yes.
of Kufa. I don't think so. It's a kind of false accusation that is leveled against
Iranians.
But
for sure, Persians had role, for example,
of course.
In helping
Yeah, they had role, but if we accuse them as this, that they only followed
Araq al-Ajam or Araq al-Fursi.
Yeah. If you say that they only loved Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam
yes.
or Imam Sajjad because of his mother, then that's not
this
true.
This is not the point. That's right.
It is based on ma'rifah, on iman of
like
the people.
Like Salman al-Farsi,
yeah,
who based
yeah.
on ma'rifah,
yeah.
you know, whose name was Ruzbeh or Behruz
yeah,
from Isfahan
yeah.
of Iran, long, long way, man, from
yeah.
Persia, coming to Medina, Mecca, knowing Prophet Muhammad, and then converting into the religion of Islam. That's right. And the concept of the isma of the a'imma is not taken something, for example, from the holiness of the kings of the Sassanids, because some of the, for example, Orientalists like Edward Brown and other Orientalists mm-hmm. believe that, for example, the concept of isma of the a'immas were taken from the holiness of the kings of Persia because they believed in this.
And the isma of the kings.
And the isma of the kings, yes, we can say. And the holiness of.
No,
but this is not true.
They are not true, you know, because the
yeah.
prophets are infallible. It's mentioned
yes.
in the Holy Quran.
Infallibility and
yes,
isma is something
yes, yeah.
different
yeah, of course.
From the holiness, for
yeah,
example,
yeah.
of the kings. And Shahid Murtaza Mutahari, may Allah bless his soul, has answered so many of these, we can say, questions. Sheikh Fadai, any point?
You know, there were a lot of accusations to Islam
yes.
and to Shayyo.
Yes.
We didn't take our beliefs from the blood relationship, I don't know, from the feminism, about the nationalism. We have a lot of reasons for our beliefs. So if you want to just lean on these accusations, you can go more. You can go forward. Why do you talk about tashayyu? You can talk about Islam. So what is the accusation about Islam in Iran? They say Islam was brought to Iran by sword
mm-hmm.
in the time of the second caliph. They invaded Iran and they forced Iranian people to be Muslim.
Yes.
So which is the one of the accusations of Islam Islam in Iran. If this is like that, so what about China? Nowadays, we have a lot of Muslim in China. Did Arab people invade China? Mm-hmm. Of course not. What about other countries that would have Muslim? Yes, they invaded
like
Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Now the biggest country, the biggest Islamic country is Indonesia. Yes. That Arab people even didn't see it. Maybe they didn't know that there was a region at that time. So it is not like that. Or for example, we have Samaneh Maghribia from Morocco as mother of Imam. So she was from Morocco.
Yes.
But can you say that Moroccan people are Shia now? Mm-hmm. Because the mother of Imam was Shia, mother of a Shia Imam
or
was
Najas
from
Khatun,
there.
For example.
Of course not.
Yes, that's right.
You know, these nationalist accusations, mm-hmm. you know, they don't matter.
Yes.
We have enough reason for our belief.
Yes.
So we don't need to take care about that.
That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai. There is a bog'a, or grave-like thing, attributed to Shahr Banu in Shahr Ray. It's not authentic.
It is not. Superstitious.
Yeah, it's not authentic. Nowadays, of course, so many people pay visit to that, you know. But this has not been mentioned as an authentic bog'a or cemetery.
That's a problem. Unfortunately, whenever we see some shrine, we start to worship that shrine. It's not real. We should study about it.
Alhamdulillah, the new generation of the ulama of the houses, you know, are doing lots of research regarding the trustworthiness of the lineage of descendants, imamzadas, and the a'immas, you know. This has not been approved yet, for example, according to the latest studies, Bug'a Shahr Banu in Shahr Ray. For example, Hazrat Abdulazim al-Hassani Shahr Ray is known to all, okay? Right. There has been lineage, there has been stories over there, there has been authentic records and documents showing that this is the grave of Hazrat Abdulazim al-Hassani, but this one, no. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the life account of Shahr Banu, wife of Imam al-Hussein and mother of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstudy.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fiyaman.